Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
One, two pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Climbed the ladder with 98 for his eighth strikeout of the afternoon. And Jacob Mizorowski gets through seven while retiring the last 13 that he faced.
Brewers 360 sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited and Big Fish Contracting. Talking with host of Brewers Extra Innings, Dom Catronio, live with us this morning. Hey, Dom.
Good morning, guys.
So, oh, by the way, the Brewers swept the Pirates this weekend. We're a little bit lost in Packers this morning, but that was a nice appetizer to the Packers game.
How did the Packers do? I don't even
know. Unawares.
I haven't heard at all. I haven't seen anybody overreacting to anything.
That's true. It's week one. It's game one.
Talk to me, Vinny. I mean, you're an owner. Talk to me. After one game of the Packers, and everyone's like, Super Bowl or bust, and after four games of the Brewers, it was like, sell everything. Like, overreaction is part of the
yes.
After 1 week.
We always overreact to our first taste of whatever, right? To the Brewers come out of the gates and swept the Mets, right? We would have been buying tickets to the World Series. So it happens regardless of team. I think we always overreact to that. I mean, in my defense, I picked the Packers to have a losing season, which doesn't appear to be aging well at this point, but we got 16 to go.
Yes, yes. No, it seems like a fun day, a fun time to be waking up in state of Wisconsin between the Badgers and the Packers and the Brewers.
Right.
Everyone's feeling good.
This is why you're a sports fan. So here's a question, Dom. Not that anyone's complaining, but just I think Vince and I both were a little confused by it. If you're auditing pitch counts and you're watching innings for a young phenom like Jacob Mizorowski, why have him go seven on Sunday and why have him throw 108 pitches?
I think all the auditing earlier in the year and all of the limited starts and then the IL stint certainly helped as well. But all of that was to set him up for this and to make this a learning moment. Because let's also be honest here, guys, there's no guarantee Jacob Mizorowski gets a postseason start. Like there's no guarantee of that because you've got Freddie, you've got Woodruff, you've got Priester. You only need three starters in the NLDS because of the way that the off days work. So is Miz going to start in a CS game? Is he going to be a reliever in the postseason? That might have been the first card shown in the hand of Matt Arnold saying, we're okay with him going seven because he's probably going to get shortened up in the postseason.
So what would your, not to get off topic, but I guess that raises an interesting point. What's your order for arms in
it's got to be Freddie out of the gate, right?
In that series, and assuming it's the best of five in that second round.
Yeah, so assuming it's that, reminder that they play on Saturday, October the 4th, and they get an extra off day on that Sunday. Major League Baseball wants to stagger the game, so it's not just four games every day. So there's four games on Saturday, two games on Sunday, and then the National League plays again on Monday. So using that extra off day in the DS is going to be massive for the Brewers getting that bye, because I'd go Freddie in game one, Priester in game two, Woodruff in game three, and because of that extra off day and the off day for the travel day, Freddie could start game four on regular fifth day rotation for him, and then you get another off day and a travel day, and the Brewers could probably go with Quinn Priester in that finale, or Jacob Mizorowski if they really wanted to.
That's fascinating. And then, too, given, and again, we're talking about the Brewers' super magic number,
right,
which is the magic number is at three just to make the postseason. But what we've talked about from day one, Dom, even in spring training, how we need to avoid that silly wild card round where anything can happen. So barring the unforeseen, the Packers, well, what's the number I was calling for today, Eric?
For the super magic number? Okay.
Well, give me the
super. The Brewers' super magic number, 13.
Okay, Dom, 13. That's 13. To clinch the top seed. But the magic-er number is what we arrived at. The at least get that two seed. That's somewhere in the neighborhood of like 10, isn't it?
So how many magic numbers we got now?
We have three magic numbers.
Come on. Well, so actually there's four.
The way that you find out if you're going to get the bye is if you make sure you subtract games remaining from how many games ahead of the NL West leader, which I believe the Dodgers have 79 wins.
Yeah.
They have 79 wins, right? So yeah, that's 10. That means the magic number is 10. And you have the tiebreaker, so it's really 9.
So let me ask you this. With the magic number to make the postseason currently at three, right, Pancake?
3.
Okay. Does that mean when that magic number gets to 0, are we popping champagne?
I think it's going to be like a subdued toast because, I mean, they'll pop a few bottles, but it'll be more like a, hey, step one accomplished, but let's really party our faces off when we get the one seed. And that's, I think, the game plan for the Brewers because, hey, you can pop champagne. I mean, they're probably going to be popping champagne in Texas. But at the same time, there's bigger and better ahead for these guys.
Yeah, I'm totally in favor of that. Like, but not to hang up the plastic in the clubhouse celebration. But
I don't think we're going to go that far. Not for just clinching the playoffs.
Yes, let's acknowledge it. Important milestone. But step one, more work to do. And then save that for, you know, when we really, I think you can pop, you can hang the plastic wrap up if we clinch the division.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, you know, quite frankly, as we're looking at it, you know, with the magic number being 12, you start to schedule it out. Could it be against the Angels at home? That would be awesome. Could it be in St. Louis? Could it be in San Diego? I hope it's not in that final week because I would like to be in attendance for it.
Right, of course.
All right, so what do we have? We have Texas. What do we know about the Rangers? Anything?
Rangers are, like, right there hanging on by a thread to be in the wild card race of the American League. The American League is a picture of mid this season, of just a lot of 500 teams that don't know who wants it. And they've got some great pitching, but the Brewers are missing the brunt of it. You know, they're not going to see Jacob deGrom. Nathan Eovaldi is out for the rest of the year. So their two big horses are not available in this series. But the young kids for the Rangers are starting to buck a little bit because Marcus Semien is out, Adolis Garcia is out, so they've been relying on their kids, and they've certainly got themselves, I believe, 2 games back of wild card positioning here with 18 games to go.
Hey, Dom, what's your take on the Phillies Karen? So we have this Phillies fan in Miami. So Phillies are playing the Marlins. Phillies hit a home run. This Phillies fan, she goes for the ball. It kind of bounces in front of her. Maybe she's got a hand on it. Another Phillies fan shows up from down the row, picks up the ball, cheers, runs back to his son and gives it to his son. Then she demands the ball. There's video all over the place of this. She demands it because she had it first, or at least it was in her vicinity first, and he ended up giving her the ball.
Kudos to the Marlins for handling that as well as they did. They gave the kid a gift basket, and then Harrison Bader went down and met with the kid too. I thought that was really classy of the Phillies to do that. Just real quick ball etiquette for anybody listening. If you're an adult that catches a foul ball or a home run ball or whatever, celebrate, do whatever. Yeah, woo. Then find the nearest child of the fan of the team and give them the ball. You don't need the ball. Where are they going to go? Come on, man. Come on. Give it to the kid. Make a core memory. You've been to plenty of games in your life and you haven't caught a ball. You'll survive giving this ball away. So adults, be the adult in the dang room and give the ball to a kid.
What are the rules on location of your seat versus somebody coming over into your area, right? Do you have any claim because the ball was hit near you that,
none,
I don't know, supersedes
none,
that of
none,
intruding fan into your space?
You know how you can keep a fan from getting to your space? Just catch the ball. Just catch it. Like, if you catch it, there's no debate. That's it.
Well, we would imagine we'll find out her name soon enough. I'm shocked that it hasn't been out there yet, but someday she'll be officially
one was
scorned.
Like a little more tame than that one at the U.S. Open with the guy snatching the hat. That one actually made my blood boil. But this one, it's like this happens probably once a game, and this one just happened to be caught on camera.
Ooh, very good.
Brewers and Rangers, it's a 7:05 first pitch tonight. Thanks, Dom.
Thanks, guys.